Welcome to Swish and Flick, an All Potter podcast.
Swish and Flick, everyone. The Swish and Flick.
Hello and welcome to episode 339 of Swish and Flick. I'm Teef.
I'm Meg.
And I'm Kate.
And this episode is sponsored by Allison Paulson. Thanks, Allison. Thank you. Thank you for going with my flow.
Yeah, of course.
We're vibing.
Today we are going to be discussing part 2 of chapter 13. Why 2?
Oh, you said 2 and another number.
You're just feeling it.
I'm just feeling the numbers.
Okay. Of Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows, the Muggleborn Registration Commission, also known as the MBRC.
I know you're going to say it.
So make sure that you have read the chapter and you're ready to escape your way through the details.
Escape. Hey, that's weird. It's spelled just like the word escape.
But like, that's how my brain works a lot of the time.
I know. Oh. I feel that so hard.
Dory moments.
Poor Dory.
Don't worry.
If you haven't seen the follow-up movie to that, Finding Dory, it's actually phenomenal.
And also quite
it's
sad.
So sad. It is sad,
but it's so good.
It is sad.
I can't wait to watch Inside Out 2.
Yeah, we need to go sometime next week. Like, I don't want to go on the weekend.
Did you know that Great Northern Mall was like redone and apparently it's supposed to be like amazing?
That's like a new theater.
The theater or the mall?
Wait, the mall was redone?
No, I meant the theater, but you're like, yeah, it's a new theater. And I just said that.
But it made it sound like it was the mall.
I said Great Northern. I didn't say mall.
That is the mall.
Great Northern is the mall, my love.
Don't just say Great Northern.
Well, we were talking about movies.
People who are from Northeast Ohio will understand, and they'll agree with Katie and I.
Whatever. Anyways.
I love you.
You should see it there.
Should I see it there?
What is happening?
I love you.
Me?
Yeah.
Why?
I just do. What?
I don't know.
Do your job.
All right, it's time.
Do your job.
Another recap.
Thanks, Jeff.
Yeah.
Hermione/Mafalda.
Hopcook.
Hopcook. Hermione Hopcook.
Hoping you are well. Mafalda Hopcook.
I like how the little envelope does like a blink.
I know.
Hermione gets roped into helping Umbridge in the courtrooms and gets separated from Harry. Don't know why Mafalda Hopcook would be the person for this job, but you know.
Naughty magic breakers.
Yep. And on his way to sneaking into Umbridge's office, Harry discovers this amazing, wonderful pamphlet on the dangers of mudbloods. Thank you so much, Dolores, for the warnings.
I was scared.
Yeah. He steals Mad-Eye Moody's eye back.
Rage.
And he almost gets caught, but joins back up with Ron on the elevator, only to have an awkward run-in with one Mr. Arthur Weasley.
Womp.
Womp, 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 womp.
Did you know that Yaxley's office has been raining?
Yaxley does not like the aesthetics of storms.
No, he's very not into that. And Ron's not able to stop it. So he's like, Yaxley's office is raining. And they're like, oh, did you try Meteorologinx Recanto?
You can do that in Diagon Alley at the Wizarding World of Harry Potter and Universal Orlando, Florida.
Why don't we have press passes right now? I ask you.
We're like, I ask you.
We're like a walking ad.
Truly, though.
Oh, Bernie Pillsworth tried that spell, my friends.
Feel the burn.
I was like, what? Did you know that? Okay. Wiki, what the what? Bernie, and then in parentheses, surname possibly Pillsworth. It literally says his name in the text.
Possibly.
I can't get behind that. Did you know that they're a British wizard who works at the Ministry of Magic?
I thought maybe.
I figured that was the case.
And they used that spell to make some rain stop from...
Italio Jinx Recanto.
Make one. It not rain.
Make it not rain.
How do you say that word? I feel like I'm saying it wrong.
Mediolo Jinx.
Yeah.
Mediolo Jinx.
It's like meteorology.
Like meteorologist. Yeah, that makes sense.
Meaty bits, cat food, recanto.
And meaning it stop. Recant, to recant something. Stopping the atmospheric chimes.
Atmospheric.
What is this jinx?
That dang deer. I got bit.
Okay. It's a modifying charm, like an atmospheric charm, to make something cease. Did you know that Jacob's sibling also used it in December of 1985? To stop a blizzard that had caused
snowflake. What, now Jacob's sibling is freaking Elsa? Stopping blizzards?
Jacob's sibling also used it in the 1990 to 1991 school year to restore an enchanted window.
Stop it.
I'm just saying. The etymology of this word is likely derived from meteorology, the study of weather, which originates from the Greek word something, meaning high in sky, as well as the English verb recant, to withdraw or
fly in the sky,
retract.
I can go twice as high.
Take a look. It's in a book. A reading rainbow. Okay.
You said etymology.
Yeah.
Meteorology. And mediolojinx. Eddie Meteorology, says McKenna. Thank you.
We touched feet again.
Sorry. It was my fault.
Catherine, no!
You hit the recoil. Ah! You like shrivel.
Oh, man. So that was a note from Arthur. Thank you for helping your son, even though you didn't know it was your son. And he like mentions just offhand that a lot of offices have been raining lately.
You guys mention that? I'm sure that you did, and I'm going to get a look from both of you.
Meaty bits.
Did you mention that Mediolojinx is a spell at Universal?
Yeah. Do you not hear my
She literally sang for
5 solid seconds. And I was like, why are we not having press passes in these creator content thingies that are happening currently?
I know I'm going to get a look from you.
No, you're going to get a lecture.
Listen, I thought that you did, but I just like, I needed to be sure.
Delayed processing.
It's a thing that I have.
It's all good.
Delayed processing.
Is that the one in Diagon Alley by the bathroom?
Yes.
That it rains.
With the umbrella.
That's the one I did one time, and this guy was like, oh, did you just do that? And I was like, yeah, I did.
I love trying to time it.
You're mean.
To have it go off when someone is like walking under it.
That's awesome.
Especially if it's a kid. Nobody even heard me be mean.
Wait, especially what?
If it's a kid.
Oh my gosh.
They have the best reactions.
That's true.
They're like, whoa.
When we were there last time, some kid like almost collapsed from the dragon breathing fire.
That was
scared the poop out of them.
Hilarious.
Really? Mm-hmm. I've seen that twice where like someone's so caught off guard. Oh, it's funny.
It is loud, but I don't know.
She also dupes you. Tries to psych you out.
Me?
No. The dragon.
Are you the dragon?
Where is your dragon?
On my feet.
I smell like Megan. Just kidding.
Meg smells delicious. She smells good.
Well, thanks. Bletchley used that charm.
Bletchley.
But the only thing I could find would be Miles Bletchley, who also attended Hogwarts and was on the Slytherin Quidditch team in 1990.
That's right. Was he like the seeker before Draco?
Keeper.
Oh yeah, the keeper. Okay.
Keeper.
For a second, I was like, wait, but I was thinking of Belby.
Belby.
Oh, yeah. Belby is different, yeah. So, played against Harry.
I mean, it could be him.
I think so, too.
Bletchley.
Because he would have been, like, maintenance, getting a out seventh of school, year.
Working at the ministry, yeah. Well, it says the last year we know about him was 95-96, so...
Yeah, but
it's possible.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's a mean dude. Slytherin, of course.
My brain wants to say Belchley.
He probably casts Mediolo Jinx on over children as well.
Probably.
They really do have the best reactions.
They do.
You're not wrong.
To everything there.
Anyways. So Ron thanks Arthur and he almost calls him dad, like starts to, and then corrects himself pretty quickly. So the lift door opens, Ron gets out, Harry tries to go out too, but the path is blocked by none other than ministry loving git himself, Percy Weasley. And his nose is like in some papers, and then he like finally like notices that it's his dad in there. Awkward. And so his face turns radish red.
Yeah.
Awkward turtles. And there's a very, it's comical though. It's a comical awkward moment in the lift with Harry as Runcorn, Arthur and Purser. Purser.
Purser.
Because I wrote Percy, awkward turtles for sure. And then I mixed up Percy and turtles. So it's Purser.
That's cute.
Azkaban all over again. Awkward turtles. So as soon as the lift door opens, Percy's like out. Who knows if that was even the level he wanted.
Definitely not.
And Harry tries to leave again. And this time, his path is blocked, but by Arthur. Quote, and this is what you were talking about last time, your little Easter eggs that you were like, OMG. I hear you laid information about Dirk Cresswell. Harry had the impression that Mr. Weasley's anger was no less because of the brush with Percy. He decided his best chance was to act stupid. Sorry, he said. Don't pretend, Runcorn, said Mr. Weasley fiercely. You tracked down the wizard who faked his family tree, didn't you? So what if I did, said Harry. So Dirk Cresswell is 10 times the wizard you are, said Mr. Weasley quietly, as the lift sank ever lower. And if he survives Azkaban, you'll have to hear from him. Not to mention his wife, his sons, and his friends. Arthur, Harry interrupted, you know you're being tracked, don't you? Is that a threat, Runcorn? Said Mr. Weasley loudly. No, said Harry. It's a fact. They're watching your every move. And so this is what we were talking about last episode, that it's like a nice nice confirmation to the Weasleys that Harry gives them. It's his way of giving back to them and getting them information without putting anybody in immediate danger. And it's confirming the fact that they all suspected anyways. But it's like, I don't know. I feel like he got a chance to help out them instead of on his own way.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Even though it was all by just like sheer dumb luck, right?
Sheer dumb luck.
So the lift door opens to the atrium. Mr. Weasley bounces, and Harry hates how that interaction went down. It made him feel really awful, and I don't blame him. Mm-hmm. Someone looking at you that way, who you love and care for, even though they don't know it's you, and they're not really looking at you that way, it's a mess.
I want to give a shout out to Arthur for Runcorn looks in my head. Scary dude. Right,
I and know. He's a powerful, for him to stand like, up to him,
he's on the wrong side.
Yeah,
for him to be like, "Listen, that was messed up."
Yeah,
you know,
Arthur's always gonna Arthur. I don't like Arthur's not gonna. I don't think he would do something that would put his family in danger, but he's gonna push the boundary as far as he can. You know,
yeah,
it's just how he is, and I think that that's really cool of him.
So Harry gets his invisibility cloak on, and he's back on his mission to get Hermione. Quote, when the doors opened, he stepped out on a tortlet. What's wrong with me? A tortlich.
He stepped out on a tortlich.
On a tortlich.
It's because you don't have your book.
Lit.
You're right.
Stone passageway. Quite different than the wood paneled and carpeted corridors above. This is like, this to me feels medieval.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. These were the levels of the Ministry of Magic before it was above ground and for more than just certain people's eyes. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. These are the olden days down here in these stones. And as the lift rattled away again, Harry shivered slightly, looking towards the distant black door that marked the entrance to the Department of Mysteries.
Shout out to order.
So he sets off again. He's got to get Hermione. He's got to get Ron. Get out of here. And he goes towards the chambers where he had his trial, which the courtroom area. And he was going over in his mind how he was going to accomplish all of this. His mind grappled with possibilities as he crept down them. He still had a couple of decoy detonators, but perhaps it would be better to simply knock on the courtroom door and enter his Runcorn and ask for a quick word with Mafalda. Of course, he did not know whether Runcorn was sufficiently important enough to get away with this, and if he even managed it, Hermione's non-rare appearance may trigger a search before they were clear of the ministry. Well, guess what? They already are searching because you took Mad-Eye Moody's eye. You know. Harry's so lost in these thoughts and these plans that he doesn't really notice the unnatural chill that is creeping over him when he was descending into the fog.
It makes me think of Haunted Mansion. Chills. Where do you go on that swing around? No, it's a hatbox ghost.
Oh.
Jinx, you owe me a Coke.
That was identical.
Wow, was. We're identical. What was I going to say?
I don't know. Something about Harry
Potter.
Oh,
they're breeding. They're breeding in this hallway.
Oh.
You're welcome.
I hate that.
I'm sorry. Just saying. Anyways. He's at the bottom of the steps. And he feels all the great feels that come with dementors, despair and hopelessness. And he sees that the hallway outside of the courtrooms is absolutely packed with dementors who are there to keep the Muggleborns in line and compliant. They're hiding their faces in their mouths to keep them as far away from the dementors as they possibly can. There is absolutely no way he can cast a Patronus in this moment without being caught.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everybody knows his Patronus. And obviously, if you're casting that, you're going to get everybody coming out of the courtroom doing whatever. But I want you to think about this and think about what dementors really do to Harry. He literally fell out of the sky at one point.
Yep.
He hears his mother.
It's really traumatic for him.
It's not good.
He passes out most times.
So now I want you to think about that as I read you this. Quote, fight it, he told himself, but he knew that he could not conjure a Patronus here without revealing himself instantly. So he moved forward as silently as he could, and with every step he took, numbness seemed to seal over his brain. But he forced himself to think of Hermione and Ron, who needed him.
Oh.
They are his Patronus.
Yeah.
In this moment, they are his Patronus. And he does this for them in this moment. And in turn, during the battle, when they are going to the Shrieking Shack, Luna and everybody else from the DA casts their Patronus because he can't.
Yeah.
And I think it's very poetic and it's very brilliant writing. And it's a subtle nod as to like the opposites of this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I just think that's really special.
It is.
And that's what I wrote in my book.
You didn't. It says read from book.
That's what I wrote in my book.
Oh.
That's not in my notes. You got remembered? It. I'm so proud of you.
Thank you.
That's awesome.
You're going to give me a high five.
Too slow.
I don't play that game. No.
I won't do it, I promise. Please.
You get one fingy.
Do it in your face.
All right, low five.
That sucked.
It is a weird angle.
All right, that was a little better. So moving through the towering black figures was terrifying as per usual for Harry and literally anybody.
Megan just takes my poetry and comes in with a per usual.
Think of how this feels for Harry. Harry walked and felt all these things as per usual.
He felt some stuff.
You know, he's sad.
I love you guys.
Stuff. Sad stuff?
He's like sad stuff. However, he does, like Tiffany said, because like he's thinking of Ron and Hermione and how they still need him. So like he still has this small sense of hope in him, some resilience in him. And he feels as if the Dementors can sense that and are like a little uneasy with it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. So abruptly, a door opens, which is the courtroom. And someone starts screaming from inside, going, "No, no, I'm half blood, I tell you.
Get your hands off of me." That's what Jim Dale sounds like.
Yeah. And then you hear Umbridge go, "This is your final warning. If you struggle, you will be subjected to the Dementor's kiss." Which.
Tiffany. What?
That is crazy.
It's bonkers.
Yeah.
I
will take, think about that though. I know we've talked about it before. I'm not actually killing you. You don't actually get to die, but you also don't get an afterlife.
Correct.
So like you're going to stay as long as your body will hold out.
But you're not even
but you
really
don't get
alive.
You don't get a final resting place. Bye.
Yeah.
And like this.
You don't even get to be a ghost. That's a spirit. You don't get that. Right?
Right.
Yeah.
And, like, literally this whole thing is just so interesting because it's almost like the Salem witch trials but in reverse, right? So, like, in the Salem witch trials, they were being hunted for being witches. Now they're being hunted for being muggles. And they're, I mean, I think that their fate here is worse, right? The Dementor's kiss. That's like,
I would think so.
That's the worst.
Yeah.
Someone says it's a fate worse than death.
Right.
Yeah.
Does Sirius say that or Dumbledore?
That was the two between
Dumbledore
in my head.
Dumbledore says that. No, maybe it is. I don't remember. Yeah, it's one of them. So the Dementors literally like grab this person, which I have a hard time visualizing because to me, they're just these like creepy figures that float and like they're not.
Hands.
Yeah, but they like
their
literally like.
Worse.
Grab this person and glide down the hallway with them until you just like can't see them anymore.
I hate that.
I got real chills. Ugh.
It also makes me wonder if they say, "Oh,
oh no, what?"
If they say that just to keep them compliant and then they don't care.
Yeah.
And then the Dementors do whatever they want anyway because they're
not gonna have the fight in them that.
Well, the ministry thinks
some people will.
They have
you know,
control over
the Dementors,
but they don't.
They don't really,
they
right?
Don't. Yeah, you're right though, babe.
Which trigger warning is reminiscent of the Holocaust?
Oh, taking them away.
Yeah, just the whole thing, or like giving them this false sense that like nothing's going to happen, and then it does.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's yeah. awful. Mm-hmm. So next is Mary Cattermole. So we know that she is Reg's wife. This is who, just a little refresher, who Ron has turned into with the Polyjuice Potion. So Harry follows her into the courtroom. And again, remember, he's still under the invisibility cloak here. So he just kind of like sneaks in. And it was not the same courtroom that he had been in.
Mm-mm.
In Order of the Phoenix.
Smaller.
It's smaller, but like taller.
Muggle-born Registration Commission official is smaller than the room he had for trial for underage magic. Let that sink in.
Yeah.
Insane.
But he also talks about how like tall it is and it almost makes it feel even more suffocating. Like,
yeah, doesn't he describe it as feeling unending going up?
Yeah. Mm. And.
Oh, like you're at the bottom of a well.
All, yeah. There are also Dementors in here, and you can see Umbridge's Patronus prowling up and down to protect all of the prosecutors from the feeling of the Dementors. So right now they're protecting Umbridge, Hermione, and Yaxley. Mm-hmm. And Mrs. Cattermole is shaking. She's so terrified. She sits in this single seat that's in the middle of the room. And as soon as she sits, chains click down on her arms, on the arms of the chair, and they like bind her there. Mm-hmm.
This is guilty until proven innocent.
Yes, absolutely.
It's also Barty Crouch Jr.
Yes.
Trial-ish.
So she starts crying when she's asked if she's married to Reginald, because she's like, he was supposed to meet me here. I don't know what happened. And Umbridge then she just keeps going on. She's like, and are you mother to Maisie, Ellie, and Alfred Cattermole? And then she starts crying more, saying that they're scared that she won't come home. And Yaxley spats at her. Spare us. The brats of Mudbloods do not stir our sympathies. And I just put like in all caps here. I was like, they are being so loud. They do not care.
No.
They're not hiding anything anymore.
Yeah, they don't have to care anymore.
And it's awful. Katie, were you going to say something?
I said they don't care.
Oh. So again, Harry's in his invisibility cloak and he makes his way up the platform to be behind Hermione. And he like is trying to figure out what is the most like opportune time to let her know that he's behind her, because he doesn't want to make her jump. And because like she's sitting next to Yaxley and Umbridge. Mm-hmm. So Umbridge raises her voice at that moment to speak to Mrs. Cattermole, and Harry seizes his chance here.
And it goes exactly how he expects it's going to. He like whispers, I'm behind you. And she jumps so bad she knocks over her bottle of ink.
I mean, I would have too.
Me too.
That's terrible.
I mean, you're already
on edge.
There's
no good way to do that. Yeah. There's no good way to do that.
No, she's 100% already like, you know,
yeah,
at her wit's end. But Umbridge and Yaxley are so into what they're doing right now, like bullying Mrs. Cattermole, they don't even notice.
They are.
It's disgusting.
In their prime here.
Yep. Yep.
They're happy.
So Umbridge starts questioning Mrs. Cattermole, and she's like, a wand was taken from you when you arrived at the ministry. Again, this part is just done really well in the movie. And Umbridge reads out its exact specifications, and then she's like, please tell us, like being all sweet and disgusting.
I hate her.
Which witch or wizard you took that wand from?
This is the thing. This is not possible. You can't steal magic.
Yeah.
And like the fact that this isn't getting hardly any pushback just lets you know what kind of power they have over the common person.
Yeah.
Everybody's terrified.
If we want to continue on with, I mean, again, trigger warning for Holocaust talk. Like, Umbridge herself is a half-blood, right?
Right.
Hitler was brown-eyed, dark-haired.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Praised blue eyes and blonde hair, right?
Mm-hmm.
Voldemort, half-blood.
Right.
Praises pure blood.
Yeah, it's, like, literally direct correlation.
And people follow along with it if you're the right kind of, like, Grindelwald person.
Mm.
Knows how to swindle you. Knows how to say it just right.
Hello, Swishers. I started taking Hormone Harmony because I was feeling a little bit down and off and experiencing some bad sleep quality. Also having cravings and bloating. But now it's easier to manage PMS with Hormone Harmony. It helps to support hormonal balance and regulation, supports cortisol, estrogen, and progesterone levels, and it also improves sleep quality and occasional bloating and gas. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. It has zero sugar and is gluten-free, dairy-free, non-GMO, and third-party tested. And the biggest benefit? Feeling like myself again. That's what women mention over and over in their reviews. And there are over 17,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony.
For a limited time, you can get 15% off on your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code SWISH at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code SWISH for 15% off today.
Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up with your card. Then get three-pound packs of flavorful 80% lean ground beef for $2.99 a pound with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah.
To make you believe it. It's insane. That it, like, this works and it's terrifying because it's really relatable.
It doesn't affect me until it affects me.
Right. So, like, when people say, like, oh, X, Y, or Z could never happen. Yeah, it can.
Yeah.
I mean, it literally has numerous times mm-hmm. throughout our history. Mm-hmm.
There's stuff happening right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, poor Mary. I feel weird calling her Mrs. Kettermole. I don't know why. But I also feel weird calling her Mary. She's sobbing. She's like, I didn't take it. I bought it when I was 11. It chose me. So, she's crying harder than ever. I think she just, like, knows there's no winning here. Like, this isn't, like, the first day of Muggle-born trials, right? Like,
there's
been talk.
Yeah.
There's no arguing. They're going to twist everything no matter what. There's dementors everywhere. Her husband isn't there with her when he was supposed to be. Like, what happened to him? What about their kids? Like, I don't blame her for being, like, almost unable to speak. So Umbridge laughs this soft, girlish laugh that Harry wants to attack her.
Attack.
Yeah, attack. But she leans forward and something swings forward that's gold, and it's the locket, and both him and Hermione see that she's wearing it.
What?
And Hermione lets out this squeak, but again, Umbridge and Yaxley are fixed on their prey. That's what it says in the book. So they're just blocking everything else out.
Mm-hmm.
No, said Umbridge. No, I don't think so, Mrs. Kettermole. Wands only choose witches or wizards. You are not a witch. I have your responses to the questionnaire that was sent to you here. So she asks Hermione, Mafalda, to pass them to her. So we get a little bit of a glimpse into what is on this questionnaire. But what did they, like, really do with this thing? Like, I'm sure it was ridiculous questions, and I'm sure they were worded in a way to confuse and help twist the narrative. And then I'm wondering, like, did they just change the answers if they wanted to? Who's going to question them?
Yeah, I don't think they cared. I think it's just formalities and...
It's like, oh, we just needed to put something on paper.
Yeah.
To, like, quote, prove.
Yeah.
So Hermione finds the papers, and then as she hands them over, she's like, oh, that's really pretty, Dolores. And Umbridge is like, what? Oh, yes, an old family heirloom.
She, like, snaps at her.
Mm-hmm. The S stands for Selwyn. I'm related to the Selwyns. Indeed, there are a few pureblood families whom I'm not related to. A pity, she continued in a louder voice, flicking through Mrs. Kettermole's questionnaires. That the same cannot be said for you. Parents, professionals, greengrocers.
Greengrocers.
And Yaxley laughs. Like, listen, Voldemort worked at Borgin and Burks, all right? That's basically a greengrocer.
What?
Isn't that like a retail?
I mean, yeah, it's a retail position.
Greengrocers? Right. I thought, like, a literally grocery store.
Yeah, but I mean, like, it's retail.
But it's still retail. I get what you're saying.
Okay.
Like, what does that even have to do with anything?
Yeah, I know.
Your parents. Dentists. Yeah, that's a pretty cool job.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
No, it makes me mad. But she's straight up just lying through her teeth, which is what ends up setting Harry completely off.
Yeah, because he must not tell lies.
Yeah. So this is totally not true. I mean, one, the S stands for Slytherin anyway. But it is fun to note that Selwyn, which I didn't think about, this being a little bit of a foreshadowing, he's earlier in the book. He's one of the Death Eaters who's chasing Harry and Hagrid during this Battle of the Seven Potters. And he's the one that Voldemort orders to give up his wand when Lucius's wand doesn't work. And he shows up again later when there's the ambush at the Lovegood house.
So that's curious to me that, like,
I wonder, like, how many times she's said this story. Mm-hmm. And, like, there is actually a Selwyn who's a Death Eater who now I'm assuming is probably at the ministry every now and then because, like, all the Death Eaters are.
Yeah.
Like, they would have to know she's lying, no? You know what I mean? Like, this is kind of...
Selwyn is also a name on the Sacred 28.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think she's related at all to them.
No, she's not.
Oh, dude, I forgot that Shacklebolt was.
Ooh, me too. So it's that lie from Umbridge that makes Harry so mad to where, it's described as his brain just obliterated all sense of caution. Right? Like, forget it. We're in it to win it.
I'm sorry, though. Obliterated his sense of caution. This happens after he takes Mad-Eye's eye out of the door?
That was a rage steal.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That was the precursor to this one. So, like, using the locket that she took as a bribe from a petty criminal to boost up her own pure blood credentials, that's the line for Harry. He doesn't even bother to try to stand under the cloak. So here's his disembodied hand floating with a wand. And he hits her with Stupefy, which is, like, really awesome.
Yeah, I love it.
She crumples, right? She's out. Silver Cat, obviously, Patronus is going to disappear. And then they feel like ice cold air just hits them. So that protective wall is legone. He actually is like, what the heck's going on? Looks around, sees this hand in the air. His turn. Stupefy.
I bet that felt good.
Mm-hmm. Next episode's going to be freaking nuts. It's chaos.
It is chaos.
It's revelry.
It's our last.
Did you get it?
I don't know. I don't think so.
There's a little fruit fly going around.
Flying around.
I don't think you're dead. I think I just saw it. Yes, this is our last hurrah before we go camping.
Yay,
camping.
I love to camp. That's actually a very large lie. I do not like to camp.
I don't either. I like s'mores, but I don't like sleeping in a tent. Cabins or bugs. Yeah, I would do cabin.
I'm not meant to be a camper.
Me neither.
Nope.
Sam Gartley asks, which Tom do you dislike less?
Oh.
Tommy or Tom Brady?
Is that just a Tiffany question? I don't really have an answer because I don't really...
Which one do I dislike less? Voldemort.
Oh, God. Well, I was going to say one's a murderer, so I'm going to have to go with that guy. But
yeah,
it's hard. You dislike him more?
Yeah, it's hard comparing real life people.
See, now for me, I'm like, well, Voldemort is not real, so I'm going to say that I dislike him less.
Mm.
Fictional. That's a fair argument.
Yeah. Quick answers, Marguerite. Do you think Dementors breed like bunnies or spread like a sickness? Spread like a sickness.
Yeah, I'm going to go with that
one.
I don't
know what your question was. I'm sorry.
Do you think Dementors breed like bunnies or spread like a sickness?
Hill, do you think that's a description in the Wizarding World? Like,
what?
Breeding like Dementors.
Ew.
I hope not. Is it sad?
I'm going to go with sickness.
Yeah.
Because bunnies are too cute.
Getting down with the sickness. Get up.
Sam, can you train yourself to think positive, happy thoughts to deal with Dementors without producing a Patronus to get rid of them? Mental magic?
I love that.
Maybe.
Could that be like its own form of Patronus?
I think if you're strong enough, perhaps.
I mean, it's working for Harry here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, to actually train yourself in that art? Sure, why not?
An art.
What is this?
Marguerite, do you think all of the courtroom setup was done by Dolores solely? Probably.
I think she probably would have tried to get that big courtroom, though.
That's true.
I think she wanted it.
But I don't know. You think she didn't like the fact that it was, like, tall and skinny and, like, kind of, like, I'm looking down on you?
I think she was probably like, does it snap them in with chains? Yeah.
I'll take that one. Who's to say?
Jom Egga asks, what spell would you have used on Dolores?
Probably Avada.
Yeah, literally.
No, honestly, I probably would have rage used Crucio and then rage. Sorry. Just hide you in a corner. Make you hide.
I would have tickle jinxed her.
Tickle jinx?
That's torture.
That's awful.
It is, but not long lasting enough of an issue.
That's because you can turn your tickle off.
Are you gonna Crucio her?
Into torture.
I would absolutely Crucio her, and then I would just kill her.
What if you Imperio? What if you Imperio?
You just Kramered real hard. You're gonna her hair.
I could do Imperio. But like, what would I Imperio? But then, like, what would I? I mean, I guess. If you want to think long game, Imperio would definitely be the way to go because then you could basically control the Muggleborn.
Yeah, what if you got her to do away with everything?
Yeah.
I actually changed my mind. I'm actually a good person.
Yeah, I think that I would probably... I'd probably Imperio her.
In that moment, though...
I'd want to just attack and kill.
You're not even thinking
kill.
About the long game.
Yeah,
game. You're
no.
just thinking of right
now. I'd be like... Discourse. Marguerite, thinking of the crazy magical death chair thing in Fantastic Beasts that Makuza has.
Oh, that thing is nasty.
I hate it. Makes me feel that if Voldy and all that happened in the UK came to Makuza, the punishment we see here would be 2 times worse.
Probably.
Sounds about right.
Mia. Wild that they're out here just taking souls because they don't believe in someone's claimed source of magic. Like, fine, take their wand and try to banish them, but soul taking. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very reminiscent of things that have happened in our history. So, Michigan McKenna, how do Dementors talk? Maybe they do a little dancey dance like bees to communicate.
That's where the bee gift came from. I saw a bee gift come up in Discord, and I was like, what's that all about?
It's just different rattling.
Oh, my God.
Stop.
That's, hey, how are you?
No.
Do you know I speak Dementor?
Katie.
Meg speaks Heshasa.
Heshasa.
What is the language of Dementors called? We've got Parcel Tongue.
I don't know.
Look up some Latin for... stuff
and then
some things
give me oh Dementorish. I like that. Give me that fan story.
All right, this fan story comes from McKenna from this month of this
what?
Year.
Yeah,
because we have a relative on the show.
McKenna's my cousin.
Nice.
Yeah. Guys, this story just made me sob.
And there's pictures.
Okay. Where is it? I didn't
see. Well, it's a PDF.
It's a PDF.
So I'll send the PDF in our little chatty chat.
A chatty chat.
See. There we go. Okay. Ready?
Yes.
I feel like this is kind of long. Just a heads up. I'm a yapper. One is up. Swish and flickers. That seems a bit much. Let's restart. What's up, girls and all of the swishers? My name is McKenna Curtis Collins, and my Potter story is kind of lame. Wait, Katie, don't say it isn't because...
Too late, I did!
It's not lame because it's boring, but because I thought I was too cool for Harry Potter for the first 23 years of my life. How I could be so wrong. Hey, that's okay. I thought I was too cool for it for, like, a couple months.
You weren't.
You were just like...
Tiffany.
What? I'm sorry. Oh, she's actually. Not sorry.
Actually, we are yours.
Okay. I'm a Gryffindor. What is up, Tiff?
What up?
Boo hiss. Kidding.
Slither, slither. My wand is made of walnut wood, has unicorn hair core, is 10 inches, and rigid flexibility. My Patronus is a stoat. cute but sad, Hagrid offers stoat sandwiches to the trio in book one.
Don't Yikes, they look like little weasels or
yeah.
something?
Yeah, they're adorable.
Cute. Super cute, cute. Cute, cute,
Hagrid out here just having weasel sandwiches.
Oh, I hate
Can
it.
I interest you in a weasel sandwich?
Can I interest you in a stoat sandwich?
I do not know my Ilvermorny. I haven't really taken a dive into that section of Wizarding World. I'm 25 years old, and my Potter story began only 3 years ago and actually has to start with Star Wars.
Yeah!
Too bad you dropped kicked R2-D2 out of here.
I did. He was like he was right in the camera shot, and I was like, no, he can't be in the camera
like,
shot.
She like went boom.
He was like through him.
That was so in sync, guys. I heard it.
Aww. Yeah.
Lame.
Sorry.
That's the name of the game. In 2021, I decided to move away from my strict, rigid
New Year's.
New York. Oh, New Year's.
New York.
In 2021, I decided to move away from my strict, rigid New Year's resolutions and move into fun ones that allow me to just explore things I never had before.
New York.
My New York resolutions.
I love that. For 22 years of my life, I prided myself on not being a nerd. I was cool and sporty, and I did not read and I did not watch movies. Honestly, I just never had the attention span for it. I was too fidgety to relax enough to read or sit down for an hour plus for movies. Until 2021, my fun facts were...
It's SpongeBob meme written.
It's SpongeBob meme, so caps and lowercase. I've never seen Harry Potter, Lord of the Rings, or Star Wars. Parentheses, I sucked, I know.
No, you didn't suck. It's fine.
But in 2020, I decided to change that. I made my 2021 New Year's resolution, not New York's, to watch all Star Wars movies. Do not worry, I watched first. In release order, then went back to watching chronological. Nice.
Very good. Very good, McKenna.
I have found people are quite passionate about that.
Yes.
But wow, I did love it. I now have a chat. Oh my God. A cat whose name is Obi.
Mm.
Obi. But he is not a BA like him. He is actually quite anxious and shy, but he lets you rub his little toe beans. Mm. And he gives so many licks. Plus, he meows at you when you meow at him. He's a big talker. Katie would love him. I already do. And he would love you. Oh, I added a picture of Obi for you guys to see. My sweet little boy. I can't wait to get to the end of this just to see him.
He's really cute.
Oh, so I watched Star Wars in 2021, and it basically became my personality after that. Little did I know Harry Potter would only take me to a whole new level of obsession. 2022 rolls around, and I was, still am, dating this guy who used to dress up as Harry Potter for every Halloween when he was little. Pictured at the bottom. Awesome. His mom was also obsessed with Harry Potter, and when she found out it was my New Year's resolution to watch Harry Potter, they were pumped.
What are you doing?
Yeah. What is that?
I don't know.
That's my voice.
That's a video of Fillmore.
That is so weird.
That's messed up.
I'm so sorry. It's because I was looking.
She's trying to zoom in on the picture.
I was trying to zoom in on the cat picture, but then it was like swiping to the previous image in our chat, and it was the video of Fillmore. Sorry, guys. I don't even know if anybody heard that.
I heard my voice, and I wasn't speaking. They were pumped. Also, yes. Sorry, I did go to the movies first because at this point in time, I still hated reading. Again, I was the worst. You're not the worst. It's okay. We all absorb information differently. It's fine. We watched nearly all the movies in one weekend, and honestly, I was overwhelmed and confused while watching. Yeah, that tracks. I kept getting quizzed like, McKenna, what's that house called? And I was just so confused. I was like, I have no clue what's going on. Have I seen this house before? It was the Burrow.
My mom, when she was like, she never admitted this to me growing up, but she told me that she was just so lost and confused with the movies. Yeah. But she would like watch them all the time for me because I liked watching them. And then finally, it took her until 2021 as well to finally read the books. And then she was like, oh my God, the movies make so much more sense. I'm like, yeah.
She ignored us for about 3 months. She'd bring it
less
the car.
Than that.
Yeah.
Less
bring
than
in the car and be reading in the back seat.
I don't blame her.
It's fine. That's acceptable for Harry Potter.
Right.
Yeah.
After we finished the movies, I did feel less overwhelmed, and I even exclaimed, I knew Snape was good. I am proud to say I love Snape. He has been my favorite from the beginning. But when they ended...
Interesting.
But when they ended, I still wasn't in love with the series like I was with Star Wars. I was very much of the mindset, okay, cool, I can check that New Year's resolution box. Little did I know when my partner and I decided to rewatch them how much I would fall in love with the world, characters, and story. And so my obsession began after my second time watching them. Mm. 2023 began, and I knew I couldn't move to Lord of the Rings yet. I had to start reading the Harry Potter books instead. One of my best friends who began to move away from the series due to the author, so my friend offered her entire collection to be gifted to me. Nice. I was honored. The books were well-loved, and I cherished them. Mm. I read through the first three so fast, but I hit Hot Cup of Fire and struggled.
Hot Cup of Fire!
I love all the swishisms that are just speckled there. Like I said, I was not a big reader, and other than the Bible, I literally have never known that
big. Wait, can you say that again?
I was not a big reader. What was that? No. Did you hear that?
No.
My brain just stopped working. I made just sounds.
You're fine.
I was not a big reader, and other than the Bible, I literally have never read a book that big.
I've never even read the whole Bible, so kudos to you.
Same. So I got through maybe a fourth of Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire in April and didn't pick the book back up until end of July. I fought my way through it and was shocked at how different from the movie it was, but it was so good. Mm. At this point, I had probably watched the movies 3 to 5 times each, depending on the movie. I was also watching the movie of the book I just finished once I was done. I finished Deathly Hallows by September. Mm. So really dove right back in hard once I picked up Goblet of Fire in July. That was like me when I read Throne of Glass. It was my whole year.
Oh, yeah. Truly it was.
Actually, it was 2023. That's funny.
Oh, we man.
Just read a whole series.
Cruising.
I feel like when I finished Deathly Hallows, I was crushed. Oh, my world was over. Yeah. I had been so consumed with the books and Harry Potter universe for 2 years of my adult life now, which I know is not nearly as long as most fans, but it was consuming me. I was so obsessed and in love with this world. I honestly feel like I was so robbed in my childhood. Aww. Since I never was interested when I was younger. So it is now 2024, and the back wall of my living room has framed pictures of Hogwarts, the Burrow, the Whomping Willow, and the Hogwarts Express on it. I have the Great Hall floating candles hanging in a corner, picture below, and stacks of Harry Potter books everywhere. I have like 4 copies of the first and 3 of the 6. I've started a real addiction, and I can't stop buying them when I see them at Goodwill. Relatable. I have a hardback collection, paperback, illustrated copy. I have 3 first edition, but not like the big money first edition.
Okay.
And 3 Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone copies. Every book I own is slightly different, so I'm unable to convince myself to get rid of them. Ugh.
I felt that. Yep. Oh man.
Needless to say, I've surpassed my partner and his mom's love for Harry Potter, and when we did Harry Potter trivia in May, everyone told me I was the one that had to take the phone to answer all the questions, and they only wanted it. And they only wanted to ask if I needed confirmation or help. Sorry, my brain. I have now read the books 3 times, working on my 4th, and I listen to your podcast almost daily. Mm. I have not allowed myself to become a patron yet because I am trying so desperately to catch up to where you are on the reread that I don't want to become consumed with Felix Files like I know I will. I have to catch up on the pod before I gift myself with the reward of being a patron. Oh my God.
That is precious. Absolutely precious.
I found your podcast in December of 2023 because my Nana saw how obviously obsessed I was with Harry Potter. And she goes, you know, cousin Tiffy?
Tiffy? That's adorable.
Oh, I'm not crying. Tiffy.
You know, cousin Tiffy has a podcast about Harry Potter. I think it's quite successful from what I've heard. Oh, that's so sweet. And it's history ever since then. So hi, Cousin Tiffy. I know this is a one-sided connection, but it's been so cool to feel close to you. From hearing you talk about how amazing your relationship is with Marty, to your journey with your kids, although where I am in the pod, James does not exist yet. To even listening to you talk about Grandpa passing. Not to mention us both being Gryffindors and us having the same opinion on nearly everything, minus Snape. Yeah. I do love him.
I can't. I'm and sorry, I love you.
And I have loved feeling connected to you. Mm. So thank you, Katie, Meg, and Tiff, for all you do. Also, thank you, Sarah, although I believe you have left the pod, but you're still with me on episode 214. Aww. You get me through many miles that I run. You're a runner?
Wait till you see.
What?
She's an exceptionally gifted and talented and accomplished long distance runner.
Ooh.
Yeah.
You get me through my many miles that I run, walks I go on, drives, work days, and so much more. Like I said, I'm on episode 214 as I write this, and I'm working so hard to catch up, so I become a patron and dive into all the details alongside you guys. Well, this is a river recap of my Potter story. P.S. It is June 2024, and my New Year's resolution is to watch Lord of the Rings. Ooh. Not that that is relevant, really, but just thought I'd let you know where I was and becoming on my becoming a nerd and loving it journey. Your cat is so cute.
Your cat is. The fangies are out. Fangies are out.
Oh, my God.
Look at her partner. Little glasses.
Look at that Gryffindor crest.
No.
So cute.
I love your candles. I really need you to kiss that cat right between his eyes for me, though.
Absolutely adorable.
Oh, little Obi.
Absolutely adorable.
McKenna, thank you. This was great.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Very well written as well. You smarty pants. That just
made me so happy. Thank you. I'm so glad you're a part of the fandom.
Yes.
Me too.
Specifically, the Swish sector.
The Swish sector.
Thanks for making Tiff cry.
Yeah.
I'm forever calling you Tiffy.
It's the cutest thing I've ever heard. Why have I never even thought of that?
I don't know.
Because we do Tiff.
Tiff.
Also, I shooed that fruit fly away as I was reading, and I hit it with my finger, and I did not like that. I did not like feeling it.
I hate this little fly.
Yeah.
Put him on my list.
The fruit fly in the lair. Why did Gilderoy Lockhart team up with Nearly Headless Nick?
I don't know, Katie. Why?
Because he needed a ghostwriter.
Oh.
That's actually really good.
I like that.
That was a good one. All right. If you'd like to follow us on social media, myself and Katie are on Instagram and TikTok at The Petrus Family. And Tiffy is on Instagram and TikTok at TiffSwish_flick.
Thanks.
Lindsay from Hufflepuff got bingo tonight.
Why is it in red?
Wait, I thought it was Gryffindor.
Yeah.
Was it?
I thought Gil got it. Who got it?
No, Lindsay got it. I think that there was a mix up.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Lindsay. Well, yay.
No.
Bingo was a whole fiasco, McKenna says.
It was. Was it really? Make it yellow. I don't like that. Here, I'm doing it.
The House Cup standings, I'm assuming, remain the same.
Don't assume.
Except Hufflepuff is 50 points richer, baby.
Baby.
Ravenclaw first. Gryffindor is coming.
They're roaring.
Roaring.
They're a beast down on all fours.
No.
That roars.
No.
Meow. Meow.
That's a Taylor lyric, friends. Sorry.
What were the lyrics?
Beast on all four that roars.
Oh.
Meow. Megan doesn't know.
I don't.
Something is a beast. Beauty is a beast. That roars down on all fours.
What song is
that? Demanding more. I can't think of the track title.
Not even a real fan.
Is that from Tortured Poets?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Not even a fan.
Fake fan.
You're a fake fan.
Fake fan.
Fake fan. Fake fan.
This episode is for family.
It's for Tiffy.
For McKenna and Tiffy reuniting. You know, sometimes families just... I know I moved here. I moved away from everybody, so it's hard to get together. But, like, this is our reconnection, and I can feel it in my bones, and I feel like we're going to get together. So
I can feel it in my fingers.
I literally loathe that.
Feel it in my toes.
Ruined it. This is for family. All right, that concludes this week's episode. Thank you so much for listening, and don't let the muggles get you down. My butt hurts. Like
boom shakalaka.
Too long, you know.